5 Live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Hello, BBC.
Call 0500 909 693. Calls are free from most landlines, but some networks and mobile operators will charge. Text 85058. Text will be charged at your standard message rate. This is 5 Live.
5 Live will be in Newcastle next month. See what I did there? Culturally aware. None of that Newcastle business like some shandy-drinking soft southerner. I call it Newcastle. Anyway, we will be there next month for a host of live programmes and off-air events on the week of the Great North Run. This includes Richard Bacon's fantastic programme, Mayo and Kermode's film review, and kicking off with Colin Murray and what can only be described as one of the best shows on British radio, Fighting Talk. Not that I should know. Every time I go on it, I come last, but there you go. For more information on all of our programmes in the North East next month and on how you can get tickets for live shows, just go to bbc.co.uk/5live. All right, let's move it on, shall we? Thousands of students have spent another day on the phones desperately hoping to grab one of the few remaining university places. I remember it all too well, but with my glowing academic prowess, CDE, I remember. Oh, man, how much laughter did I hear when I was going through clearing? Hi, I'm Nihal. I've got CD and an E. Really? I'm a chap from a university. Go away. At least 150,000 students could miss out, apparently. The University Admissions Service, UCAS, estimate that at least 70,000 students are taking the advice of university's minister, David Willetts, and voluntarily opting out of going to university this year. So, are you one of those who's waiting to hear? And have you decided not to go to university? And have your parents come round to that? Do you think you're better off trying to get a job? And what about this idea that if you don't go to uni, you're some kind of loser in life? Plenty of people are very, very successful without having been to university. Richard Branson, anyone? He didn't go to university. John Humphreys, of course, from the Today programme, didn't go to university. He didn't even do A-levels, left school at 15 or 16, I believe. So, is uni the be-all and end-all? Or have you now decided, not going to do that? And what if you're a parent? Will you always push your kids into going to university? Or do you believe that they should find their own way in life and that perhaps going out there into the world and getting a job is the best thing for them? Perhaps that's what you did. 0500 909 693 is the phone number. Or you can text me on 85058. And I kind of expect you to both. Be nice for you to join me. With me, Johnny Rich, editor of the Push University Guide, and Francis Gilbert, who is a teacher in London. And we can also speak to two students, Das Birkumjit Gakul, who got a place on an accountancy course but has turned it down in favour of taking a job, and Amber Fox, who wanted to study medicine but despite top grades can't get on any course. Amber, if I could start with you. Good evening, Amber.
Hello.
What a nightmare.
Yeah.
So, what grades did you get?
I got 3 A-stars and an A.
Whoa. Whoa there, Nelly. You got 3 A-stars and an A?
Yeah.
You must be... You couldn't lend me some of your brains, could you? You're not selling any of these brains, because I could do with that. And you wanted to study medicine where?
Well, my first choice was Oxford.
Right. And they said no?
Yeah.
Because what? Presumably someone had 5 A-stars, did they, or something?
Probably.
OK, so they accepted you, presumably, beforehand on the basis that you achieved certain grades.
No, I didn't get any offers.
You didn't get a single offer?
No. And
what were your predicted grades then?
2 A's and 2 A-stars.
This is the world we're living in, where you can't even get an offer with predicted grades of 2 A's and 2 A-stars.
Yeah.
Okay, I am just flabbergasted at that. The idea that I would get even an A. Well, you heard my grades, C, D and an E back in the days. Amber, what are you going to do now?
I'm not quite sure, but I reckon I'm going to have to have a gap year and reapply because I really want to do medicine, so...
And you want to do it specifically at Oxford?
No, well, I've applied to other ones. I'm not really bothered where I go. I just kind of want to get a place.
I'm loath to ask you the question, do you think that you're aiming your sights too high? I mean, you've got 3 A stars and an A. I mean, I don't know much how... Well, you could have got 4 A stars. Amber, could you have let the side down by not getting 4 A stars? I mean, how disappointing. You must have been absolutely devastated. All that work, for what?
Yeah, it's pretty devastating. Especially when my friends, they've got like lower grades and they've all got places.
This is just so unfair. Johnny, editor of the Push University Guide, have you ever heard such a story?
I have. And there are quite a few of those stories this year. I mean, what Amber should do is what she's planning to do is absolutely right. She should take a gap year. She can use that gap year really productively because now she's got her grades. Universities are going to take her that much more seriously. The universities, they hate this uncertainty. They don't like it any more than anyone else. And so what they like is somebody who's already got their grades. So her 3 A stars and an A is worth, I would say, at least the same as 4 A stars that somebody might or might not get in a year's time. So people will be a lot more willing to consider her now. Also in that year, she can do wonderful things in her gap year that will help her application. She can show that she's really committed to wanting to study medicine, which, let's face it, is the most difficult course in the country to get into. And so she has aimed her sights right at the top, but she's clearly got the brains for it, and so why not? Go for it, Amber.
Amber, what kind of things are you going to do over the next 12 months then? Because I just make a suggestion here. Working in a fast food restaurant probably isn't the way forward.
Well, I think I'm going to get a job that's sort of medical related, so maybe in a pharmacy or a doctor's surgery or something.
Right, OK. Interesting. Frances Gilbert is a teacher in London. Good evening, Frances.
Good evening.
How depressing is it for students out there right now? And is university really the only option? Because we keep being sold this dream. We certainly were under the last government that university was the way forward. And now we've just got a whole generation who are going to be in debt up to their eyeballs, and that's even if they can get in a course in the first place, which even someone with 3 A stars and an A can't get.
Yeah, I mean, this does trouble me. I teach, obviously, sixth formers who've come back to me from university, and they basically are saying they've been wasting their time. It's largely, I have to say, to do with the very poor quality of teaching they've received at university that hasn't geared them up for, you know, what to do next, whether it's the job market or to go into other fields. So I think that, you know, universities really need to have a big rethink about how they go about things, because unlike teaching, there's no sort of Ofsted inspectorate inspecting how good the lessons are, the tutorials are, lectures are. There's no standardised curriculum. So, you know, you can do a media studies at Cardiff, say, and it can be amazing, but you can do it somewhere else and it'd be terrible. So no one has any idea really about what's good and what's bad. And I think that, you know, we need to really rethink how we go about, you know, putting our children into universities.
And what about this idea that we present, and I don't know if you present this, I presume you teach sixth form, so they're already in the A-level system, they already want to go to university. But yeah. but teachers below you, is there any emphasis put on university isn't your only option? Even if you are bright, it's not your only option.
Yeah, I mean, there is a bit, but often it's sneered upon. I mean, in this country, we do vocational education really badly, and we've just ditched GMVQs, which are vocational qualifications a few years ago, and we've got diplomas up and running, but it looks like the current government doesn't want to do that. So, you know, these practical qualifications, we've done really badly as a country, as a nation, and we often, you know, see people as being thick if they do those qualifications, which is a nonsense, because obviously we need the electricians, we need the plumbers, and at the moment they're all coming from other countries, you know, so we've got to address that situation. We're in a bad state, and schools have got to get their act together, and so do universities.
If I can come in here, there's a middle ground as well, which is that there are a lot of earn while you learn schemes out there as well, where you can go and get a job. And I know of one, for example, where
get a job.
You can get a job. You
really?
Work 4 days a week.
2 million unemployed, 500,000.
What world
are you living in, Johnny?
I know of one scheme which is undersubscribed at the moment, where you work 4 days a week and the other day you go to university and they pay for you to do your degree.
Undersubscribed.
Undersubscribed.
I think that's exactly the kind of thing that we as teachers need to be educated about, because I don't think enough of us are aware, and I think the careers service within teaching is poor because we don't know about this stuff. We're pushing kids into university, and I think that that sort of scheme is exactly the kind of thing that many of my students would have benefited from.
Our higher education system, our university system, is not just universities. It's across a whole wonderful array of different options. I mean, there's Earn While You Learn schemes, there are universities, but even within universities, we've got 142 universities in this country. They are all different. They are all offering completely different experiences. And absolutely right. We don't have enough information, advice and guidance in the schools appreciating this difference and appreciating this diversity and helping people to find the right slot for them, because no two people are the same, and so no two options will necessarily suit them.
But Johnny, wasn't there this gold rush where all these courses sprouted up, which ultimately bore no relevance to being successful in life or having any meaningful career at the end of it, in order to get more and more funding for the universities?
What courses are you thinking of? Because I think it's really hard to think of any courses where you can go, actually, there's no relevance to that whatsoever. Even the most
doing a course at a certain university, or which was perhaps an ex-polytechnic back in the days, in the back of beyond, doing some course, media studies being a prime example of that. People always cite media studies, okay? And they end up at the end of it thinking, oh my gosh, why aren't I head of drama at Channel 4 now?
I'm not going to pretend that every media studies course is a brilliant route into media. That's definitely not the case. But it is well worth remembering that you learn a lot from university courses. I mean, you could say philosophy. What's that about? What's that for? Well, I did philosophy at
good
university.
Good question. Very good question, Johnny.
It's a really useful course. It helps me to think analytically. It helps me in business. It helps me in a lot of different things. And people don't necessarily...
But an employer's not going to get that.
Johnny, I think the crucial thing is that the students that are coming back to me are saying that actually it's not the course they're doing, it's the quality of teaching on the course that they're just being lectured at. They're not really understanding or absorbing or learning very much. And no one's checking up on any of this stuff. And so the quality of teaching in some of these universities, even good, so-called good universities, is pretty poor, you know, where you get very kind of inappropriate teaching going on, and that needs to be sorted out urgently.
Let me just stop you there for a minute, Johnny. I want to go to Mike, who's in Johnston in Dumfries. Good evening to you, Mike.
Hello. Just telling you, listening to your program at Amber, our granddaughter's got 5 A stars and 3 A's, and she hasn't been able to get into medical school. Now, some medical schools are now using this UK CAP qualification as well, and they keep altering the goalposts, and she missed that by about 5 marks. So she's been rejected by all the medical schools she applied to, and she can't get any higher marks than 5 A stars and 3 A's, all in science subjects, I might add, not in mediocre subjects, you know what I mean?
No. Mike, just quickly, I mean, have you spoke to your granddaughter about this? How has this dented her confidence?
Well, luckily, it hasn't affected her at the moment. She's a Duke of Edinburgh Gold Star Award winner, you know, and she's taken quite well. But she's only 17 and a half, so whether putting her back a year on age, because her birthday's in February, this may be a reason.
Right, and she's looking at that now. Mike, thank you very much indeed. Let's speak to Das, who got a place on an accountancy course but has turned it down in favour of taking a job. Good evening, Das.
Hiya.
How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
Now, why did you turn it down?
Well, to start with, I did apply to university. I got my offers through. But later on, in like March time, I was introduced to the AAT accountancy route. Which appealed more to me at the time. So therefore, you know, you hear a lot on the news nowadays, graduates are graduating, but they're not getting a job at the end. And in terms of accountancy as a career, I don't think a degree is necessary anymore.
Thus, do you feel that you weren't given enough information while you were at school about alternatives to university?
Absolutely. I was told actually quite late about this kind of like AAT route that I've gone into now. So I could have actually been going to university in September instead of going to a job.
Now, thus, a good Asian boy like yourself, your family must have been pulling their hair out when you said you didn't want to go to university, weren't they?
Yeah, they wanted me to go to university, as every Asian family would want their daughter or son to go to. But, you know, after I sat them down and told them about this route, you know, they were willing to support me whatever route I went to.
And how many of your friends are going down this route as well, Das?
None of them.
None of them? It's just you?
Yeah.
What do you think you're missing out on, though, Das? Social life, independence, freedom?
I think I'll probably miss out on some of the social aspect of university, but I don't think that the financial risk is worth taking.
Right, it's actually down to... Because how old are you now?
18.
You're 18, and you're worried about the amount of debt you'll get into?
Yeah.
OK, Das, interesting. Johnny, there you go. I'm sure something's shared now by a lot of people, especially with the minister saying, you know what, perhaps give up that dream of university for a little while.
Yeah, well, lots of things come out of that. I mean, Das is doing a degree-level qualification, so he may not be going to university, but he's going to end up with qualifications at that level. And he's going to miss out on two things. He's going to miss out on the social side, which, yeah, fine, that makes sense if it's not that big a loss to him. And he'll miss out on the extracurricular side, by which I mean a lot of the opportunities in sport and other pastimes. And some of these things are really good for your CV as well. He'll miss out on some of those as well. That's fine. He's decided that that's a fair payoff, because he'll also miss out on the debt. And as Push published some figures just last week that a lot of people heard about, which new students starting this term are going to graduate with average debts of £24,700.
Whoa.
Which is a lot of money.
Yeah, that is a lot.
I mean, it's not as much as the extra they will stand to earn because they're graduates, but there's no getting away from it. It's an enormous sum of money. And for Das, it makes perfect sense. If the social side and the extracurricular side are not that big a deal, it's certainly not worth 24, 25 grand of his money.
OK, Johnny, thank you very much. Francis, Das and Amber, thank you very much indeed as well for joining me. Sam from Chichester texted in and say, I opted not to go to university because of the fact that it simply wasn't for me. Instead, I decided to follow my passion and go to college to do a music performance course, and I fall back in from my parents because I love my music and my band. It's the life I want. Well, Sam, one day, my friend, get that band together, send me a demo to Radio 1 and we'll see how good you really are, my son. OK, it is 56 minutes past 11.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
To listen again to the best bits, plus a full roundup of what's on, click bbc.co.uk/5live.
Here for